Good morning, and happy Father's Day, my dad's out there. Certainly glad to see everyone out again on this wonderful occasion, that being to worship our Lord and Savior. For those who are visiting, welcome to the Garner Lane Church of Christ. I want to thank the Ross family. If I remember correctly, he said he got up around 5:30 this morning, get his wheels turning. So I appreciate him making preparations to be here. Of course, my parents are here. They're in the back. And my brother and my sister-in-law are here. And any other visitors that are here this morning, we consider you our honored guest and hope that you can hang out for just a few minutes after services for us to introduce ourselves and get to know you. For you all who are visiting, I am not the usual preacher. Again, my name is Jason Douglas. Our usual preacher is Rob Miller. But in the spirit of Father's Day, I'm going to give Rob a break this morning. And I want to deliver a special Father's Day sermon to everyone. It is short and sweet. I hope you enjoy it. It's my desire that I always preach the truth, so should you find error in anything I have to say this morning, do me a favor and see me after services so that we can discuss that. Don't forget that you can go to gardnerlane.org. Again, that's gardnerlane.org to listen to Rob's Sunday morning services. And against my better judgment, I think I'm going to even upload my sermon this morning. So, should you choose to listen to it, that's where that will be. On Father's Day, we often reflect on warm memories that we had as a child. If you were fortunate enough to grow up in a household with a father and blessed to be raised like I was, you have warm memories of your childhood, and on this day, you start to reflect on the values that you were taught, some of the things that were instilled to you. So just for a few minutes, bear with me here this morning. I'd like to share with you guys a few John Douglas quotes. And I want you to glance up here and see if you recognize any of these. I would imagine that perhaps your father had said some of the same things. I want to go through a few of these, and then we'll get into our lesson. That's Papa there with the grandchildren. He is not recognizable anymore. He's a completely different man with his grandchildren. That's another point. Number one, John Douglas quote. See, Dad got me out of the house and thought I couldn't embarrass him anymore, but I want to keep him on his toes. Number one, I don't want to spank you. It's a John Douglas quote he used to say. Certainly did not stop him from doing so. If you got as many spankings as I did growing up, you certainly didn't believe that first one. Another John Douglas quote there is, don't forget to check your oil. Dad would say that all the time. It didn't matter what was wrong with the vehicle. In his mind, somehow it could be traced back to an oil change. So Dad would always tell me, Jason, don't forget to check the oil. This one here is a personal favorite of mine. Bring back all the change. So Mom would send me on an errand, and she let me keep the change, you know, if it were within reason. And then Dad sends me on an errand. It almost seems like he expected me to come back with more money than he gave me. Just a few more here. In my house, or I pay the bills, or under my roof. Imagine you all can relate to that. Dad would say that often. That seems to be the Father's Day mantra, if you will. I would imagine this glorious nation of ours, many fathers say that from time to time. Go ask your mother. Actually, that's a pretty good one. I've found use for that myself as a father now. Then last but not least, we need to talk. So those words would strike fear in my heart. I knew that I was in trouble when we need to sit down and talk. And I was a fidgety kid. That's where my daughter gets it from. So those were torturous for me to sit down. I can remember thinking, just punish me already. Let's just get that over with. I could go on all day. I suppose that now that I'm a father, and even my children in their young age could probably add a few quotes to this list. Just how important are dads in a family? Real studies, not empty claims, show that fathers play an important role in cognitive abilities in their children. When fathers are involved in their children's education, the kids are more likely to get better grades, enjoy school, participate in extracurriculars. Children with involved fathers tend to attain higher levels of education. Fathers play an important role in the moral behavior. With involved fathers, teenagers were less likely to use drugs. A recent study in the Journal of Research on Crime and Delinquency found that the best predictor of violent crime and burglary in a community was the proportion of households without fathers. The Department of Health and Human Services found that 70% of all juveniles in long-term correctional facilities did not grow up with a father. What else? Fathers strongly influence their children's views of the opposite sex. David Bankenhorn, the author of Fatherless America, says a biological father has no equal when it comes to socializing a male child, especially in teaching respectful attitudes towards females. Certainly agree with that. Fathers help adolescent girls form their opinions of men and help them relate with men. Boys tend to respond better to the system of rewards and punishments from that of their fathers and those used by their mothers. Children with engaged fathers show greater initiative, self-control. They also tend to be more economically self-sufficient. And finally, boys with engaged fathers tend to grow up to do what? Be good fathers themselves. After all, they did have someone to model their behavior after. So, I could go on for hours and hours, and I could repeat statistics, and I could go over all this research that's been done on whether or the effects of a father in a household. And all these millions of dollars been poured into this research. But what does a Christian say? What does a Christian think after all those statistics that I've gone over with you? I imagine maybe some of you thought, well, that's enlightening. But I would imagine that's a small percentage. The majority of you are probably saying, Jason, tell me something we don't know. And why would you say that? Well, as a Christian, we know that all these statistics reach a conclusion that has already been taught in the scriptures. For thousands of years, the scriptures have told us everything that I've just repeated to you. Intact families produce more godly children. So what I want to do this morning on the topic of fatherhood for just a few minutes, I hope to do three things at once. I want to say thank you to our fathers. I want us to meditate on some of the examples our Heavenly Father has given us on this topic. And finally, for us younger fathers or younger parents, we're going to search the scriptures and learn how to become even better parents. So the first thing, why do you think God chose the role of the father to describe his relationship with us? If you turn over to Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10 for me. I've got a lot of scripture here, so I put them up behind me if you want to write those down. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, the first part of the verse says, do we not all have one father? Has not one God created us? We see one father mentioned here. Or perhaps in Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4, God's correction of Ezekiel, he says, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins will die. Or in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 5 and 6, it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In a sense, God is everyone's Father because we were created by Him. All souls belong to Him, so therefore God is the Father of all. And while God is truly the Father of all, we know there's a real relationship between Him and those who make the decision to follow His word. We learn from the Almighty Himself what is expected of fathers by examining His example. First example, fathers nurture. Fathers bring up your children. First verse I want to go to here is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. No surprise I was going to that scripture at some point this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bring up means to raise to maturity through nurturing. Ask yourself this morning, how did your father raise you? Was there nurturing? Was there cultivation? Was there fostering? If so, then be sure to thank your earthly father today. But maybe he wasn't. Maybe he didn't grow up with a father like that. But perhaps now you're a parent. How much of a blessing is it that you have the position to be an encouraging parent, to reset the cycle, to start over? You see, these are based in Scripture. Here we see at the most basic level, responsibility, the command to raise and nurture a child. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 says that anyone who doesn't provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And why that latter part? Why worse than an unbeliever? Well, because even those in the world understand and know that they should provide and nurture a child. If you were to guess today, what is the most common scam that we face? Ahead of identity theft, ahead of corporate embezzlement. One of the biggest scams that we have to face in this world of ours is the misappropriation of charitable donations. Executives at charitable donations at these organizations have realized that on donations specifically related to children that they can skim off the top. Millions and millions of dollars are poured into these organizations. They've realized that they can literally print money. And not all organizations, but just a few. Naturally, I don't have a problem with those organizations, but I do have a problem with those who take advantage of it. My point is that even in this world that we live in, those organizations are so well funded because people know that they should nurture and raise a child. Those are people of the world. In relation to this scripture, I am a little bit old school. I think a father should do his best to provide for his family, financially provide for his family. I think often that passage is twisted around a little bit. You look at the entire context of that chapter. You see Paul's instruction to children and grandchildren, take care of the widows, if faithful. The word provide here meaning to plan in advance for their needs. That's what that means. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11 and verse 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 11. Christ says, "Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here we see the example of God providing for us. The example of a fish is used, of an egg, that of physical sustenance, to make the important correlation of how important our spiritual nourishment is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33 says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And just like us who were fortunate enough to grow up in a house where you didn't worry about your next meal. You may not like it, but you didn't worry about your next meal or the clothes on your back. As Christians, we have no cause for worry because we know our Heavenly Father provides for us. Fathers teach. Fathers are also teachers. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4, we see fathers provide the training in the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." How do fathers teach? Fathers teach by always living and recalling God's teachings. So you can remember your father reading and studying the Bible growing up. You should thank him today. All these ideas are based in the scripture. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." What do they say about riding a bike? Same applies to scripture. Did your father teach you to ride a bike? None did. But he also trained me in scripture. We see that we are taught by God. John chapter 6 and verse 45. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 tells us that God directs our ways so that we may be blameless. What a blessing it is to know that we are taught by God through his scripture, the Heavenly Father himself. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17. It's a verse that we all know could probably be read at the beginning of every Bible study or at the beginning of every sermon. "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Fathers are teachers. Fathers are also disciplinarians. If we all listened to our fathers and did as we were instructed, there really wouldn't be any need for correction. I'm now a father myself, and I am convinced it is the very nature of a child to push the limits, to see for themselves, to exert independence. And as a result, get into trouble. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15 tells us that children are foolish. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." In training, there are course corrections. There are rebukes. There are punishments. As a child or a young person, you don't realize that at the time. If you're in junior high school or if you're in high school, I beg of you, to be careful how you treat your parents. When you get grown, if you will, and out of the house, it will hit you like a ton of bricks. How you were raised. The values that your parents instilled in you. You don't realize it at the time. And if you were corrected as a child, in some cases twice a day, take time to thank your father today. Fathers rule the home. We see it in the qualification of elders. 1 Timothy 3 Verse 4 and 5 says, he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Rule. Not as in a dictator. I think that's effective in the short term. What happens when the children leave the house? What memories will they have of their parents, of their father? Christians, respect our elders. We find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. Children should do the same for their fathers. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9 tells us that. Again, all of these things, all of these values are based in Scripture. So what happens? Finally, the result of a father's work is peace. As mentioned earlier, it's a known fact that neighborhoods without fathers have high crime rates. Good fathers teach their children the way to live righteously. They mold a child's moral character. I think it was Brother Phil this morning brought up Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That peace comes because we were trained to walk in the path of peace. So to recap, fathers nurture, fathers teach, fathers discipline, and fathers rule. And the result of all of this is peace. My lesson's about over. But as a young father, my responsibility has just begun. I hope that in our brief study this morning, perhaps you've been inspired to thank your earthly father. And of course, your heavenly father. If you're a parent, hopefully this reinforces the importance of raising your child in the conduct of the Lord. In this world that we live in, we've got to return to respecting the roles that God has laid out for the family. We need to quit thinking about fathers as failed mothers. It's not what the scriptures say. We need to respect husbands and fathers for the role that they play in our lives, especially when they do it well. John Douglas quotes, "I don't want to spank you." Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Turn 34 here this month. You realize that when you get older, that's done in love. Don't forget to check the oil. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This isn't a scripture about vehicle maintenance. But it is a scripture about how you're brought up and some of the things that your parents train you in. They do that for a reason, so that when you get older, you remember the good things, however small or big they may be. Bring back all the change. Proverbs chapter 13. "Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored." I can assure you that every dime of that change that I did keep didn't go to anything productive. It was wasted. Have to have discipline in the financial area as well in my house. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14 says, "Here for this third time I'm ready to come to you and not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you, for children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." Perhaps that's one of the reasons why we're always saying, "I pay the bills, I do this, I do that." Your parents, a good father lays up for his child, certainly mine did. Go ask your mother. Latter part of Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Take heed then to you, spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth." See, Dad was trying to keep both of us out of the trouble there. Go ask your mother. And then finally, we need to talk. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." You see that the correction ultimately leads to life. At 4, a child says, "My dad knows everything about everything." At 7, he says, "My dad knows almost everything about everything." At 12, he reasons. He says, "Well, it's only natural that Dad doesn't know everything." At 14, he might say, "Dad is old school. Dad is old fashioned." At 21, he says, "Dad is hopelessly out of step with the times." But at 25, he might say, "Dad, you know, he knows a few things about a few things." When he turns 35, he says, "Maybe we ought to call Dad and get his advice for this." He turns 50. He might ponder, "I wonder what Dad would have thought of this." And at 65, he says, "I sure wish that I could talk to Dad again." This morning, you have the right to become a child of God. But to enter in his family, you must be born of God. That birth comes by faith and obedience. It's found in 1 John 5. There's a washing, a regeneration, a new birth. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. That washing, that baptism, removes our sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. If you're not a Christian this morning, you have the opportunity to change that. The water's been prepared. The same goes if you wish to repent of your sins of a public nature. Won't you enter the family of God? If you're subject to any way, come forward. All together we stand and sing.